from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
News from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney with you. Vinny's on vacation. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Before we get to the Ravens, give you the original Nesters and their lineup as they're getting ready for the Marlins here in about 5 minutes. Gunnar Henderson, shortstop. Westberg, third base. Santander, right field. O'Hearn, your DH. Mountcastle at first. Kowser, center field. Hayes, left field. Norby at second. McCann behind the plate. Corbin Burns going for win number 11. For the Marlins, Munoz is the starting pitcher, 1-5 with a 5.14. Chisholm, center field. Edwards, shortstop. Bell, DH. De La Cruz, left field. Sanchez, right field. Lopez, second base. Bride, first base. Rivera at third. Cortez is behind the plate. We'll keep you up to date on the score throughout the final 2 hours of our program here. But let's get to the Ravens. Todd Monken, offensive coordinator, met with the media yesterday. And as you would assume, one of the first questions was about having old number 8 back.
It's great having him there. I'm not tied into, you know, where he's at this moment, but it was great to have him back in meetings and on the field.
Yeah, well, he was there for about an hour, as he's been dealing with an illness and then left the field right after that. So Lamar Jackson, Ravens are off today. Did return to the field, which is good news. The season opener is coming up on September 5th against Kansas City. So I guess his work will be accelerated. But Lamar Jackson seems to get sick a lot around training camp time. But he was there a week plus ago, reporting with quarterbacks and the injured veterans, but since the start of training camp has been under the weather and was out there for just a little bit, which was good to see. And we'll find out more tomorrow, obviously, when the Ravens return to the practice field. But one of the big storylines surrounding the Ravens in 2024 will be the progress of Rashad Bateman. Now entering his fourth season, first-round pick out of Minnesota, wide receiver. He's been surpassed, I mean, let's be honest, by Zay Flowers in the pecking order. You would assume that Bateman, as a first-round draft pick, would be a number one dude. But, you know, they went out and got Zay Flowers, first-round pick. Signed Odell last year, now in Miami. Aguilar, I mean, you get the point. But Rashad Bateman, Todd Monken, expectations are what for him?
Well, you'd have to ask him. And I think he's always had a belief in himself as a player. I think it's good for all of us, quarterbacks, collectively as a team. We're expecting a big year from Rashad.
What do you think, Nolan McGraw? They expect a big year, but we've kind of heard that before. The first 2 years, health or lack thereof was the reason, excuse, depending on your perspective, for why he wasn't putting up these big numbers. But he played in 16 games last year, and the numbers weren't all that strong. His target share was pretty limited, only what, one touchdown. And interesting quote, you try to read between lines. Well, you have to ask him what his expectations are. I'm guessing when the coaches get together, Todd Monken and John Harbaugh and others are saying, well, we need him to do this, that, and the other, not go ask him and let's see what he wants to do.
Yeah, when you're a former first-round pick, that comes with its own set of expectations. And even if a few years have passed since then, and we know how his career's panned out so far, I don't think that that's changed, at least for me. I expect him to perform at least close to a first-round talent at some point in his career. I'm not willing to throw in the bust label completely at this point. We're getting close, though,
sure.
But I'm not there yet. But as far as Monken's perspective here, I mean, this is also his responsibility. I mean, Bateman's the one that has to perform, but, I mean, how many plays are being drawn up for Bateman to get him involved? You know, last year, you had a rookie come in and Zay Flowers, no issues getting chemistry developed with Lamar Jackson. They had designed plays to get him the ball early and often in the season. Can we make that same effort for Rashad Bateman?
Let me ask you this, Nolan McGraw, and by extension, our listeners out there, and get in, 410-583-1057, answer the question. 2021 draft, Bateman was the 27th pick. Adape Owe is the 31st pick. Who do you have more confidence in this year impacting the team in a positive way?
It's close. I'm going to go with Bateman ever so slightly, with the caveat that he's going to be healthy for a full season. Owe's just... Man, the more I think about it, I could go either way, but
yeah.
I will go Bateman ever so slightly, because both, it's kind of the same story. Injuries here and there derailing any sort of progress. But at times, though, when they are out there and healthy, they disappear and they're a non-factor. You know, Bateman will go games with one target, two targets, no targets. Owe goes games where he plays a high percentage of snaps, but you never even see him sniff the quarterback. So they're almost the exact same guy.
I think, just my humble opinion, best case scenario for Rashad Bateman, he's the third option behind Flowers, Andrews, Flowers. Best case scenario, likely may have even surpassed him there. Always got to be a factor rushing the passer. Or they're in big, they're going to have to bring in people to fill that hole. Bateman, I think, all right, if he's not a superstar, you can still get by. I think Owe's got to be an impact guy this season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could technically argue that Matabike on the interior, just like you want to include Andrews as a tight end,
right,
with others. So, but I see your point. I mean, Van Noy isn't exactly, at this point, a lock as a top two guy either. You just have a collection of okay guys right now. You still need that star, or that reliable guy, rather, that you can already pencil in confidently for 9 to 10 sacks.
Yeah, Matabike, we're cool with him. I don't think he's going to get 13, but I could see double-digit 10 we will take. But Van Noy getting 9 again, I don't see that happening. I hope I'm wrong. Always got to elevate his game. I guess my point is the Ravens offensively could still be really good if Rashad Bateman is mediocre. I don't know if the Ravens pass rush is going to be good if Owe is mediocre. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Hey, speaking of Zay Flowers, Tom Monken, what about him?
Well, you could see it over the year. His development, his confidence, his ability to be engaged. I think that's the biggest thing. You can see that with players as they gain experience. They're confident to be engaged on the field in meetings. Why can't we do it this way? What about this? What about this? When you're younger, you're just trying to learn it. It's hard to be engaged when you're not sure yourself. That's where he's really come a long way.
Well, he always seemed kind of confident to me, but you know, Todd Monken's obviously around him a lot more than we are. But to put this in perspective, too, getting back to Bateman, Zay Flowers as a rookie, same number of games played, by the way, 16 each. Him and Bateman almost doubled his target share. Almost right. 108 targets to 56 targets. And I think Flowers takes his game to another level. Bateman, again, not trying to dog the guy, but I don't know what to expect from him. I expect big things, however, from Zay Flowers.
Yeah, same here. And it does go back to the point about Monken and his role and Lamar and his role in all of this, that what for whatever reason, there was no issues getting Zay Flowers up to speed. There was no issues getting him involved in this offense right from week one last year against the Texans. Probably the first drive of the game. Rashad Bateman, the same can't be said for year one, two, three. I mean, I don't know what that reason is. Nobody does. Everyone we talk to says the same thing almost, is that, well, for whatever reason, the chemistry just isn't there. So, all right, we'll see in the coming weeks here. The pads are going to come on here shortly for training camp. Hopefully Lamar can shake whatever little illness he's got, and we get actual reps between those two, Lamar and Bateman, next week. But so far, nothing to really judge off of.
Not trying to make a big deal out of it, but I'm just going to mention it. Lamar and Rashad Bateman were in Paris for a fashion show at the same time, and neither knew the other was there. I would be willing to bet money that if Zay Flowers or Mark Andrews was there, Lamar would have known about it, and they probably would have had French fries together, because apparently French fries is a big French cuisine, if I'm not mistaken. No?
It's big in the McGraw household, I'll tell you that.
5-7 the Fan. Orioles right now, two down, top of the first against the Marlins. Westberg lines out the left. Gunnar grounds out the second. Tony Tater's at the plate. Bird's trying to avoid the sweep. We'll keep you up to date on the score. Well, score's now 1-0 Orioles. Kaboom. I'm not doing it in real time, so I'm not breaking laws. Tony Tater's just hit a bomb into the right field seats. But keep it tuned to us. I'll give you the score update, or at least watch it, turn the volume down, and listen to Bob and Nolan talk sports like buy or sell next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Orioles 1-0 over the Marlins here, bottom of the first in Miami. Birds trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the last place Miami Ball Club. Anthony Santander, a missile into the right field seats down in Florida as the Orioles take the lead. Corbin Burnes trying to pick up his 11th victory of the season. And this guy Edwards, who's been Rod Carew against the Orioles, he just singles again. So runner on first for Miami. Orioles lead 1-0 there. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, got a lot going on world of sports, and we'll get into it as quickly as possible. Right now, however, let's count that dough by yourself.
Well, as usual, when Vinny isn't here, I always forget that I got to do the stocks, and I have to scramble to pull them up.
Don't blame Vinny. We can blame him for other things.
Our abbreviated report today. I got the S&P 500 here is up about $45.56. DraftKings is also up 65 cents. And we're green across the board, at least as far as we're concerned on the show. Under Armour up 23 cents.
Hey, hey, hey.
As far as the sports topics, we'll start here with something a little close to home. Jameer Young, he did great things the last 2 years with the Maryland Terrapins in College Park. But the NBA always seemed like a long shot given his measurables, his style of play. Well, he did work out for a handful of teams prior to the draft, and while he didn't get drafted, he landed in Denver on one of their unusual deals that the NBA has. They call it an Exhibit 10 deal. So he's been playing in summer league action for them and actually putting up big performances. Last week in a game against the Pacers, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Pretty good all around. And Denver writer there, Joel Rush, said that Young is actually starting to catch the attention of scouts around the league, looking to maybe poach him if Denver doesn't have a space to keep him. Buy or sell, Bob, we'll see Young latch on with a team prior to the season.
And play in the NBA or just get an opportunity
like
on a roster?
Or,
sure.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. I mean, a little older. And I don't want to get into ageism, being an old geezer myself. But, you know, Jameer Young in Denver, they just got Westbrook. I know they lost a couple of guards there, but I think he'll hone his skills a little bit in the G League for another NBA team. So, yes, I'll buy it. Jameer Young, when you go to NBA.com and look at the G League teams, you'll see his name on one of those rosters. If not, he'll do what Melo Trimble did and go overseas or somewhere abroad and have a very successful and lucrative financial career, because Melo's had a nice little gig going on for a long time since he left College Park.
We'll move over to the NFL. Some would say there's nowhere for Kadarius Toney to go but up at this point. A disastrous 2023 season that was bad right from the jump. You remember that season opening game Kansas City had against Detroit? They lost. There was a crucial drop pass by Toney in that one. The whole Bills game fiasco where he lined up offsides and negated a huge play that Mahomes had cost them that game. Not to mention some controversy when the late part of the season rolled around in the postseason, where he was on IR but disputed his injury status, saying that he wasn't actually injured. Well, now as training camp begins this year, Toney, he's farther down the wide receiver depth chart, but he is getting some reps at running back as well. When asked about it, Andy Reid didn't really provide much extra information, but are you buying or selling the viability of a potential role change for Toney?
Running back, kind of a Debo Samuel Swiss Army knife-ish. I'll sell it. I think he's a wide receiver with speed, but they drafted Xavier Worthy. They traded for Hollywood. So, yeah, he's fallen down the pecking order, but Valdez-Scantling's gone now in Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there could still be a role for him, because if he cannot, if he can't make in Kansas City, I don't know. Because Mecole Hardman's back, right? Didn't he score a touchdown in the Super Bowl? This is a pooper get off the pot year of the Chiefs anyway for him.
Some Major League Baseball news. Mike Trout made his first rehab start the other night and a return from a torn meniscus. Unfortunately, his night got cut short. Started to encounter some soreness in that left knee. So still a ways to go before he's fully ready to return to the majors. And this constant state of rehab for him, it's almost defined his career at this point, just as much as the generational numbers he put up in his prime. The manager there in LA, Ron Washington, said that their plan for him to slowly ramp him up. They want him to be a DH when he comes back to the majors before they fully commit to him playing defense as well. But buy or sell, Bob, Trout will not finish the season with a clean bill of health.
I don't know if he plays another game. So I'm buying that 100%. Question becomes with him, I don't know if it's fair, but life's not fair. Let's be honest here. What legacy stuff is being affected by this? This guy was being talked about as one of the 10 best players in the history of baseball in his first 5, 6, 7 years. He hasn't played over 100 games in how long? It's been a long, long time. I think Mike Trout maybe getting out of Los Angeles / Anaheim might benefit him best. And DH, and he was a brilliant defender. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nolan, he's never won a gold glove, right?
No. maybe the most shocking thing about
him. Yeah, because you know he's always played right field, center field. But if he plays for the Angels this year, I'll be stunned. So, yeah, I'm buying no clean bill of health for he'd be playing, if you know what I'm saying.
And back to the NFL here, the Titans running back room. It looks a lot different this offseason. Of course, Derrick Henry now finds himself in Baltimore, so they had to replace him. Tony Pollard was their big addition in free agency, and he joins Tajay Spears there, who was a rookie last year, creating a new 1-2 punch in Tennessee. Their new head coach, Brian Callahan, talked about the possibilities for those two, admits that really everything's on the table at this point, but the quote from him said, "I don't view either one of them as a starter or a backup. They're both starting players to me." So everybody love everybody, as you like to say, Bob.
ELE.
Right. But are you buying or selling that the Titans' new duo can be serviceable enough where they don't have to make another outside addition?
Well, if Pollard's anything close to what he was at times in Dallas, I'll buy that 100%. But right now, they look like the bottom feeders in the AFC South. I don't think they're going to be dreadful, but I mean, they're behind the Colts and the Titans and the Texans and obviously Jacksonville. We'll see if Levis can develop into anything. I think tight end, though, Chigagonquo, University of Maryland, watch him to have a
nice rookie year,
kind of a bust out season. But I think they can, those two together can maybe duplicate what Derrick Henry did. How's that sound?
Oh, it's kind of bold.
Well, 1,100 well, yards.
Oh, from last year.
Yeah. Not classic vintage. 2000, yeah. What Ravens might get Derrick Henry, but I think they could duplicate that, finish 6-11.
Well, before we hit the break here, been doing these giveaways all week. They continue today. I've got two more tickets to see Green Day on their Saviors Tour this Monday, just days away. They're going to be at Nationals Park in D.C. Tickets are still on sale, but you don't have to buy any if you win right now, because I'm looking for caller number 6 at 410-583-1057. Again, two tickets to see Green Day on Monday night.
Orioles 1-0 over the Marlins right now. Top of the second inning. Moonman just walked after Mountcastle took a call. Third strike. Corbin Burns going for win number 11 for the Orioles. Ravens are off today. We're going to talk about them with Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun as we're creeping closer and closer to the preseason. Staring at the TV here, Palatial Studios, 105.7 The Fan. I could have swore that was Johnny Bench up there. But it was James McCann with an RBI single. Orioles 2-0 right now over the Marlins. Top of the second. Gunner at the plate, Anthony Santander. He hit a bomb to right field to get the Orioles on the board. So the Birds trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Marlins. And we keep you up to date on the score. Up until 2 o'clock. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny is on vacation. Ravens are off today, but they've had a few preseason, getting close to that, August 9th. But training camp practices, and here to give us an assessment on what he has seen so far from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the program, Brian Wacker. Brian, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here, as always.
If only we were as far down the road as preseason games, then we would have a much better sense of some things with this team. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Haven't even seen pads yet for the Ravens. But let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you, Brian, the same question I asked Nolan a couple segments ago here. The 21 draft, first round, Rashad Bateman, Adape Owe. Who, in your opinion, is most likely to have an air quotes breakout season? Who needs to have a breakout, if you will, season in 2024 for Baltimore?
Can I say both? Because they both, in terms of needing a breakout season, they both need it. Of course, you know, if the Ravens are going to come close to finding the production they had in terms of pressuring the quarterback last year when they led the NFL in sacks, of course, they're going to need, you know, Owe to deliver. He's going to have to be a contributor. And look, in fairness, granted, you know, we're talking 4 training camp practices at this point, but he's looked good. He's been in the backfield an awful lot. He's beaten Ronnie Stanley a fair bit of times on the left side. So he's looked good. And the expectation from the Ravens is, you know, they're going to need him to produce, among others, because frankly, you look at that veteran free agent mark, and I just market, and I just don't see them being able to hit on a guy the way they did last year with Jadeveon Clowney. Of course, they have Kyle Van Noy back, so that helps. But you're going to need, a way to be a quality pass rusher, quality edge setter against the run for this defense, to be successful, among other things. As far as Bateman goes, again, here's a guy who has looked really good so far in camp and has made some great catches, had a really nice day in the rain the other afternoon with a couple of fantastic catches and has really shined. But, of course, Lamar Jackson hasn't been on the field. He only came back to practice yesterday, was only there for about an hour, threw a couple of passes. One of them, I think, was intended for Bateman, but it was so far over his head, over the middle, it was hard to tell, and got easily intercepted by Marlon Humphrey. So those two being on the same page is going to be critical for this offense. Now, it certainly helps when they have a guy like Isaiah Likely that they can split out wide. Of course, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, et cetera, Nelson Aguilar, a kind of a solid, dependable receiver. But Bateman is a guy who needs to break out, needs to have a big year. Of course, he signed that extension, 2-year extension in the offseason. So, if this guy is going to make a leap, he's got to do it, I think, this year, probably as much as Owe.
Now, staying with wide receivers, Zay Flowers, who, and we talked about this too earlier in the show, Brian, he almost doubled Bateman's target share in the same amount of games last year, but I guess that's another topic for another time. Don't want to make this all about Rashad Bateman, but Zay Flowers going into his sophomore season, what would realistic expectations be for a guy who probably exceeded most expectations as a rookie in 23?
Yeah, I think you're going to look for similar production that he had a year ago. I expect him to get, a similar number of targets, if not more. I mean, this guy was one of the best rookie receivers and one of the best all-around receivers, or overall receivers, I should say, in the entire league last year. So it would be crazy to imagine that he somehow takes a step backwards. I think you'll see him potentially on more deep routes than we saw last year. I talked to him actually in the offseason, and he said that it was a bit of an adjustment for him, a lot of the underneath stuff, because you go back to his Boston College career, he was a guy that went deep an awful lot for the Eagles. And, we've heard that talked about, be it from Zay Flowers, be it from other folks in the organization, that, getting him downfield is something he enjoys. It's something he's good at, something he feels he's capable at. We saw that last year when, not to, again, make it all about Rashad Bateman, but there were a few times where Bateman was open downfield and the ball either didn't find his way or was off the mark. So there is that connection between Lamar and Zay, and so I would expect to see him a little more downfield and really all over the field. This guy, I think, can be that sort of 1 or 1A receiver, and so I don't expect target-wise that we're really going to see any sort of decline in that regard, even with, Rashad Bateman probably getting more targets this year. Of course, you got Andrews and Likely probably more in the mix, and of course Derrick Henry in the backfield. So I would look Zay to be very, very integral to this offense. And talking to John Harbaugh yesterday, he said, this guy who has really developed, you could see it last year in terms of command of the offense and so forth. So I just really would expect him to have another very, very good year.
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens and obviously the NFL for the Baltimore Sun. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Total Request Thursday. Get to the offensive line, and I know at this stage, Brian, of training camp, it's almost a federal offense to talk about who the five guys were running with the first team, but your impressions of what you have seen. We know Linderbaum's your center. Ronnie's your left tackle. Voorhees, left guard's his to use, lose rather, but others that may have stood out in a positive or negative way so far. With no pads, let's stress that.
Yeah, I think that's the key part of this whole thing. And by the way, I think we'll get pads on Friday's practice, beginning of Friday's practice. So that'll give us a much better idea, because when you don't have players in pads, these guys aren't going quite full speed yet. But when these guys do get into pads, you will have pretty much full speed among the lines.
and, you know, backs and so forth. So I think we'll get a better sense of that. In terms of the specifics of the line, it's been really interesting seeing Daniel Falele in there at guard. I mean, he's such a big guy. It kind of stands out at that position, at the right guard position. And, you know, to your point, I think there's still a lot up in the air. I think you kind of nailed it there. Obviously, Linderbaum and Stanley, no injury there. Voorhees probably left guard. I think it's probably a safe bet there. You know, I think there's questions, you know, can Rosengarten at right tackle handle the bull rush and those speed rushers and so forth, or power rushers rather, on the outside. So there's some question, I think, about that right tackle. I think surprisingly, you know, we haven't really seen much of Josh Jones, a veteran guy who's played all over the line in his career. And I think some of us maybe thought that he would perhaps be a little more in the mix for a starting position. You know, he hasn't seemed really been part of that conversation and hasn't really gotten a ton of reps. Of course, all that said, we can go back to last year when Saleh, you know, was getting first team reps with the offense the first couple of weeks of training camp. And then we never saw him again. So didn't get a single snap during the season. So with John Simpson winning that left guard spot. So I think a lot will get determined here in this next week in terms of that offensive line.
All right, Brian, last thing for you. Brian Wacker, Baltimore's Sun. How impressive has Marlon Humphrey been so far? A guy that, you know, we talk about from time to time as yapping head types in this line of work. Like he was 35 years old. He just turned 28. How good's Marlon look so far?
He's looked great. Look, he's had a few interceptions already. He's leaner. He's talked about that shedding about 10 pounds, saying he went back to tape of his best years and realized that, you know, he was a little bit lighter back then. So he's down to about 190, 195, somewhere in that range from, you know, over 200 last year, about 200, 205. Healthy, fast, playing fast. You talk to coaches and other defensive backs and to a man, they all say he's still one of the fastest guys on the teams. Obviously, he's incredibly intelligent football-wise, so that's a huge dividend. But I think having him healthy and being sort of that all-pro version of Marlon Humphrey, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro this year, but, you know, having him back in that role as well as being able to move him to the inside, I think we'll see him in that slot role quite a bit. You know, they've got a lot of positional flexibility there. So I would expect a big year, not just from the group, but I think Humphrey, because, again, health, fast, playing with that sort of swagger that he played with a few years ago.
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Brian, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy your day off. Have fun out there at One Winning Drive tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Brian Wacker, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got an NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East Report, 1:15. Mets and the Rockies did the Orioles a favor last night because the Orioles didn't do themselves any favors. They're looking all right so far today. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He's always fun to talk to, and we'll talk to him. And boy, Jazz Chisholm just made a hell of a catch, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Well, 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 the Bats have come alive all of a sudden down in Miami. Colton Cowser, 3-run shot, right center field. Anthony Santander hit a solo homer earlier in the game. James McCann, RBI single, top of the third. Orioles lead the Marlins 5-0, trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the last place National League East ball club. Orioles, and in particular, Colton, well, Santander's been hot since the start of June, and he remains so through July, as others have struggled, and we'll get to that during the AL East report. But Nolan McGraw, as Mike Bordick said earlier in the show, old Moon Man looks like he's got a second wind here post-All-Star break.
Oh, they need it. Couldn't have come at a better time. Big swing last night, big homer here, and you said earlier in the show, how about 5 runs in the first inning? Well, they got 5 here in the third. I'll take that.
You got to like the fact that Corbin Burns is on the hill, and he's doing very well so far through the first two. But given some run support, you would like to think that the Orioles could handle their business here and get out of Dodge with a win. Austin Hayes just popped out to end the inning. But it is what it is. The Orioles up 5-0 right now over the Miami Marlins. It's Vitti at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Got NFL lunch coming up in a matter of minutes. Hear more from Todd Monken and Zach Orr. Ravens are off today. AL East report, and then catch up with Mike Harmon. I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. But, Nolan, I teased it earlier, the fact that I visited my retina doctor yesterday. I do need surgery. Because for those new to the show, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's off. He's on vacation. I had a fully torn retina 2 years ago. Had the retina reattachment surgery, whatever it is. I'm not a doctor. 2 years ago, haven't been able to see my right eye since. Right eye since. It's wavy. It's distorted. It's just, you can't see. So I've gotten injections. I've gotten this. I've gotten drops. I had cataract surgery. I've had all sorts of things in between. But yesterday, it became official. August the 6th, I have a pucker, is what my retina doctor said. Pucker up, buttercup. I got a pucker in the eye post-surgery, which is tugging on the retina, which apparently is taking everything out of focus. So what we're going to do, we're going to go on in there and trim this pucker, right, and get things right. And she did say, Dr. Zhu, that it's not going to be the same. And I said, I just want it better. You know, right now it's unacceptable. 20/20 in the left. Right now the right, I'd probably be legally blind in that capacity. So hopefully this will all be done August the 6th. I'm going in. She did say this is kind of this is it. If this doesn't work, you're screwed.
Right. That's the concern. But, yeah. I mean, at least you got to prove for it. It felt like for the longest time there, it's like, can we just get the final solution?
I wanted to do this a year ago.
Right.
And she kept saying, well, let's try this. Let's try that. You know, like my dad always says, hey, what did the doctor say? That'll be $40. It was kind of like that. Come on back in 3 weeks. Come back in 3 months. It was like, now let's just look, dive in. Let's dive into the deep end of the pool and see if there's sharks in there. I'm ready to fight them off. So now we're diving into the deep end. It seems like it's the last resort, but maybe the resort we should have gone to all along. So there you go. August 6th, I get pucker peeling.
Whatever. But 2 years in, that's like the new normal for you. I mean, are you prepared to see again? Are you prepared for how ugly the world is?
I had, I could see perfectly out of my left eye. But I have a pitch back in my yard. I mean, my jumper is still pure on my little 8.5-foot hoop. But I would go out there and throw the ball against the pitch back. But I can't do that anymore because the ball comes back and looks like that pitch tracker on TV where there's like seven different balls. So because the last thing I need, and it would be my luck. Hey, Bob's not here today. He hurt himself playing catch with himself because the ball came back and hit him in the face, which would probably happen. That's what I'm looking forward to doing, and walking down the steps without having to hold on to the railing, driving at night, knowing exactly which lane I'm in, that sort of thing. And if it doesn't happen, then you improvise and adapt. You overcome. How's that sound?
Ugh, I'm hoping for the best here. Well, it's been a long journey.
Yes, it has.
I almost forget what Bob was like with two eyes. I mean, in the time I've
less,
known you.
Less annoying.
Yeah.
No, not really. I've always been annoying. Anyway, we got time for Fun House. You want to wait?
Yeah, sure. We'll
Let's
do it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws, Fun House. The rudeness, cuteness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says that Coby Mayo needs to be in the Orioles lineup right now. Ramon Arias, his spot can be replaced easily. I feel like he hasn't had an RBI since the month of May.
Yeah, they got a lot of insta-outs in this lineup. And if you want to hold off the Yankees and others in the American League once you get to the postseason, they need to get a little more creative in situational hitting. And I don't know what it is. They're one of the worst teams in baseball this year with runners in scoring position. And they have 5 runs today against the Marlins. And McCann got a base hit with a runner in scoring position. But the other 4 were scored on homers. You can't keep walking that line in the playoffs when pitching gets tougher, short series, you're going up against the three top pitchers from the other team. They have to start doing a better job situationally with the sticks. And if it's going to be Mayo or Norby or whomever, maybe they acquire somebody in 5 days. They've got to do a better job in that situation, because guys like Westberger scuffling and O'Hearn, who've been really good at it all season long.
Another texter here says, as far as the Orioles needs, a position player can help you win games with his glove and bat on a nightly basis. A pitcher only helps you once every 4 or 5 games. And then, of course, what happens when you bring him in and all of a sudden they're injured, just like all the other Orioles pitchers. I would hate for the Orioles to get fleeced in a trade or have something like that happen. Would be the worst trade since Milt Pappas for Frank Robinson.
Yeah, and Frank Robinson, we all know how that worked out. Milt Pappas was no slouch by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a one-sided trade in Baltimore's favorite position player. But that was Cincinnati's bet. They thought Frank Robinson was toast, and he certainly was not at that stage of his career. They need a starting pitcher, Texter, because they don't have any. Let's just look to next year. Forget what a Skubal could do or a Crochet. And Nolan, you and I have talked about it. Crochet probably helps him more August and September, maybe after a couple of starts as a bullpen piece, perhaps. But just look ahead to next year. Assuming Burns leaves as a free agent, which appears to be the general assumption, who's your rotation in 25? With this window wide open of position player strength, where's your rotation depth and strength? Outside of Grayson and Dean Kramer, they're going to need arms. And if you can get one, and I'm reluctant to get rid of these guys just like everybody else, but the Orioles won a World Series when I was 18. Last time. Do the math. Nolan was... you were like 13 years from birth. Reagan was the president last time they won it. Clinton wasn't even in his second term yet when Nolan was born.
All right, you go. One more here. Texter says Elias is ruining team chemistry with his slow walk in making a deal to improve the team. Every player except Rutschman or Gunner doesn't know if they'll be on this team by the time the trade deadline's over. It's hard to be all in for the Orioles when you might not even be on the team tomorrow. There's so much platooning, hitters can never get in a rhythm.
I'm guessing Grayson Rodriguez is probably pretty comfortable in his status with the team. Same with Corbin Burns and, you know, most of the others. I think the guys sweating are the ones down on the farm. And then say they move a Mountcastle, who singled in his last at-bat, then he helps bring in someone that's going to help you in the bullpen or in the rotation. I mean, how much sleep are we losing? Because he's going to hit free agency after next year. So you're going to have to pay him, and you can only pay so many people. And I'm not saying he needs to be sacrificed. I don't think people are walking on eggshells to that point. I think it's more of a AAA issue as to the gang might get broken up here. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I'm sure that Elias, do you think Elias is ruining team chemistry right now?
Well, no. And as far as the deadline, the mentality impact, I mean, guys are going to be upset to see players that haven't even reached the majors yet,
right?
Because they all came up together. You know, whether it's a veteran like Cedric leaving or a guy who's in, you know, still in AAA, they're going to be upset no matter what. It's part of the game.
Yeah, they were bummed when they traded Joey Ortiz, but every time Corbin Burns takes the ball every fifth day, I think they get over that pain. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, and up all lunch coming up next. Going to hear from Todd Monken and Zach Gore, American League East Report, give you some scores as well. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. We haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. He's always fun to talk to. And we'll concentrate a lot on the NFL because his Bears are an interesting team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.